This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank on the 27th of December, 2024. CJ Miller coming up with Hat News. Also, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin weather. And we have markets from yesterday. Mike Silver has market analysis on the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them at ffbt.com to learn more. Coming up in the news, former Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue talking about tariffs ahead of the second Donald Trump administration. And more Indiana woodland owner tips on who to turn to for help. Ryan Martin says rain threats today through much of the weekend, and the markets yesterday were higher. It's all straight ahead on the Hat Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Reaction to Trump's tariff proposals from former Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, and another resource to help Indiana's woodland owners. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, in a little more than 3 weeks from now, Donald Trump will return to the White House as president. However, many ag leaders are expressing their concerns over Trump's tariff proposals and what impact it could have on America's farmers and the ag industry.
Let's be patient. Obviously, President Trump is rightfully using an effective tool in order to accomplish fairness for the United States of America.
And that's Sonny Perdue, who served as ag secretary during President Trump's previous administration. Trump says he wants to impose a 60% tariff on all Chinese imports, and he says he's also considering imposing 25% tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports if they don't clamp down on two things: the immigration issue and the smuggling of fentanyl into the U.S.
Over the past years, particularly with China, we've been patsies in that way, with experiencing very unfair trade practices there. Obviously, does any farmer or rancher want fentanyl coming into this country? Absolutely not. Do we want our borders unsecure? Absolutely not. This is one of the things that we do very well. Now, again, while we did have tariffs in the first administration of Trump, you saw through the trade appropriations, we made good on that for the most part. Not totally, as you might expect, but again, if I can do something to stop fentanyl, I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit.
Perdue says that Trump will also work to eliminate the ag trade deficit, which was $31.8 billion in fiscal year 2024, according to USDA.
The president also recognizes what an independent food production system we have in this country means for national security. Shame on us if we ever allow ourselves to become dependent on the international efforts for our food supply, as many countries are, including China, which cannot feed their people. So the president understands that.
Most of all, Perdue says that Trump has always expressed his personal concerns for the welfare of America's farmers.
I rarely left the Oval Office when I was secretary that the president didn't ask me. And these were 2017 and 18. Those were tough times on the farm. We were undergoing those tariffs. And he said, Sonny, how am I? We could be talking about anything internationally, not including agriculture. He'd say, Sonny, how are my farmers doing? I said, well, Mr. President, it's tough out there. He'd look at me in the eye, pointing his finger at me, and say, you take care of them. And I think he means that.
You can hear much more of my conversation with former U.S. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. If you're an Indiana woodland owner and you have questions or concerns about managing your property, one of your best resources may be the Indiana Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Liz Rice is their executive director.
If you have a resource concern on your land, let's say invasive species are a big topic these days, or if you're trying to improve your forest or your woodland and you would like some technical assistance, some expert help, or if you would like some financial assistance to make your proposed improvement easier to access, easier to fund, go to your Soil and Water Conservation District office, and they will either be able to provide you those resources directly, or they will be able to point you to the right office, the right person across our Indiana Conservation Partnership.
Rice says if you need their help, they're not far from where you are.
In Indiana, we are blessed to have one Soil and Water Conservation District in each of our 92 counties. And these Soil and Water Conservation Districts are all locally led conservation offices. And when I say locally led, that means that somebody in Indianapolis isn't telling somebody down in Spencer County how they should be managing their natural resources. It's actually elected and appointed leaders and staff determining what the local conservation priorities and needs are so that then they can design programs, access funding to address those locally identified priorities.
She adds that she and her team are part of a unique partnership in Indiana.
So we actually have the Indiana Conservation Partnership that involves the Indiana Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, the Department of Natural Resources, the State Department of Agriculture, the State Soil Conservation Board, the Department of Environmental Management, Purdue Extension, and the Farm Service Agency. So that strong partnership ensures that we are able to combine forces to develop programming, resources, and policies that can help really benefit our woodland owners.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through the 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualified attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save an additional 30%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the Hoosier State, you're going to need to keep the umbrella handy here the next few days. While I don't think that we have huge rain totals that are going to be trying to work through the state, I do think that we have a fairly constant threat of light rain off and on from today through tomorrow into Sunday. And at this point, I guess I'm not going to rule out Monday either. To be clear, the focal point for the biggest rains will be in central and southern Indiana and then farther east in Ohio. But I think from right now through Sunday night, we have to leave the door open to a quarter to maybe 1 inch of a precipitation coverage at around 80 to 90% of the Hoosier State. I do think that if you get into the north and northwestern parts of the state, we may have bigger windows that we are precipitation free. But even if you're precipitation free, we're not going to be dealing with dry air here at all. It's going to be that damp, very clammy feeling kind of scenario. So we're not going to dry things down a whole heck of a lot. Now, getting into Monday, we should see it be mostly dry. I don't think that we get completely rid of clouds, though. We've got another weather system building off to the west, and it comes shooting in overnight Monday night into New Year's Eve on Tuesday. Rain to start, but rain may end as snow because cold air is coming in rather quickly. If there's snow in the Hoosier State, it will be Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night for New Year's Eve. Then getting into New Year's Day, we have some lake effect popping up, but otherwise just a very cold switch to the pattern. New Year's Day, right on through the end of the week and weekend, through the 4th and 5th, we are below normal on temperatures with Arctic high pressure here. It may not be quite as cold as what we saw a couple weeks back, but it's going to be chilly for sure. We are starting to see an upper-level ridge build out to the west, so I think temperatures may moderate the week of the 6th. But it's definitely going to be a cold start to 2025. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains in grains and oil seeds coming out of the Christmas break. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank, and this is the Thursday Farm Market Review. We'll review where we settled on Thursday coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. For that, I spoke with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain right near the end of the trading session. Corn higher and above that 450 mark on the March on Thursday. Beans led the way. Even wheat worked higher, about a nickel better there. So everything higher and really throughout the session. Mike, was it a Christmas miracle?
Of sorts, let's call it that. Any day that we can see green paint on the quote boards in our grain markets when we have grain to sell certainly is a positive day. So we can call it a Christmas miracle. We can also call it the influence of holiday trade and technical trade in a market, but we'll take it. We certainly will take it. Farmers have taken advantage of the opportunity in this rally in prices to make some sales today. So we've done some of that today as farmers look at their overall positions and how much grain they have yet to sell. And there is still quite a bit of grain yet to sell. So any day we can get the positive numbers, Andy, we're going to take them. It was a strong day across the board in all of our commodities, with the exception of soybean oil. Soybean oil's taking it on the chin a little bit here today. It's down 0.37 at 39.47 cents a pound. But that's not entirely unexpected, because last week in the Commitment of Traders report, the funds were record net short in soybean oil. So we've seen a little bit of short covering there. But let's just call today's positive market movement more technical than fundamental. We did not get any export sales numbers this morning. We will get those tomorrow. We will not get a Commitment of Traders report tomorrow. We will get that Monday, and that's as a result of, obviously, the Christmas holiday and the markets being closed yesterday and the federal government being closed. So, Andy, tomorrow there's going to be a lot of numbers to digest, so we'll see how we end the day tomorrow. But for today, we're just going to call it a day of technical trade. Not surprising, really. Call it a Christmas miracle. Call it whatever you want to. It was positive. It looks like we're going to have a positive close, and hopefully we'll be able to carry that over into tomorrow and into early next week, when we're going to repeat kind of this holiday schedule and have another shortened week next week. So for folks who have grain yet to sell, my recommendation is they take a good hard look at their position and, as always, get some open orders in the market. It looks like, you know, the corn market has some life left in it yet, and soybean market too with today's performance. Hopefully we'll be able to see some follow-through strength in the soybean market. So with that, Andy, we'll just keep our fingers crossed and look forward to what USDA has to tell us tomorrow as Argentina prepares to be the next global supplier of grains along with Brazil. So we look forward to what our export sales report has to say tomorrow, and hopefully we'll see some more green paint on our quote boards tomorrow.
Mike Silver at Kokomo Grain. Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Now, settlements from Thursday trade, and the gains were around a nickel in the corn market. March going to 453 and three quarters, up a nickel and a quarter. A nickel and a half higher May contract, 460 and a half. July up 6.5 cents at 463 and three quarters. Over in beans, better than a dime higher. January 988, up 12 and three quarters. March, $9.97 up 16 cents. May, 17.5 higher, $10.07.5. And March wheat, $5.40 even, up 6.25. In the protein sector, February live cattle, $1.90.10, up $2.72. 17 cents lower, February lean hogs, $84.20. Deferred contracts up just a little. I'm Andy Eubank, and that is the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.